sister, if you have your Bibles, I hope you have your Bibles. I hope it's the right kind. Amen. Turn your King James Bible over to Malachi chapter number 3 if you have it today. And if you have another kind, you might not recognize this one. Malachi chapter number 3. Go down to verse number 6 and verse number 7 and stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, and we'll deal with verse number 7 today. I got a subject that I really, that's on my heart. I've had this outline in my Bible for about 6 weeks. I just try to wait until God tells me when, and then I get with it, amen? And so Malachi chapter number 3. And verse number 6 and verse number 7. Now, I do want to say this to you. We got a lot of this is a great crowd considering all the people that's gone for two reasons, travel. And then we got the flu bug, stomach flu bugs going through the church. Well, I'll give you pastoral counsel, not shake hands, just bump shoulders, do something other than shaking hands. And don't breathe on me. I'm kidding. And I wish you wouldn't have brought up eating. I've repented. I don't eat desserts. I stay on a diet most of the time. But I ate a whole coconut cream pie, sugar-free. I do not believe it was sugar-free, but I ate it all. I think I ate it all. Then I had 2/3 of a pumpkin pie. Now, I didn't do it in one sitting, but I did it in 2 days, 5.7 pounds worth. And so... you got the gist. And so here's the bad thing about me. I say, well, I'm going to cheat on Thanksgiving. But I'm like I'm not an alcoholic, but I'm a foodaholic. Then I keep going. My wife and I are going to take off and go to the beach. I mean, Coast Beach, whatever you want to call it, after service this morning. And I'm going to the beach to go on a diet. Ain't that something? And, so we're going to take off a singing. Pastor Jared Green's going to preach tonight. And then Brother Michael Hayes, Evangelist Michael Hayes, will be preaching Wednesday night. I'll be back Friday and get back at it. But my wife and I hadn't had a vacation for 8 or 9 months together. And we got somebody to stick with her dad this week. So we're going to go. You pray your dad don't have no big episodes, and we're going to get to go together. And we're thankful for that. She may not be thankful, but I am. Are you there in the scripture?
Yes, sir.
Let me make a bold statement, starting out with verse 6. For I am the Lord. I change not. I want all y'all to know, you better thank God. And this crowd ought to thank God that he doesn't change.
Amen.
Because he's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. That's why he said he connects it back to these rebellious people in this book. He said, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He said, you're not consumed because I'm a gracious God and a merciful God, and I change not. Like I dealt with you before, and with my patience and long suffering, I'm still dealing with you that way. Somebody help me preach. But look at verse number 7. And I really want to get traction here. This is my verse for today. Even from the days of your fathers, I can go way back. Your record, your resume, you're going away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Now notice the statement. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Let me say it again. Return unto me. Look what he said. And I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Our Father. I pray God you'll help me preach like I've never preached before. I got a subject, God, you put on my heart that I believe is so relevant for today. And I pray, God, that you'll just help me as I do an exegesis of this passage, as I show the people through the scripture where we need to return to God. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. I got a particular thought on my mind today. The context of this passage of scripture is this crowd had got away from God. This was God's people. You are God's people. And they had got away from God. And what God was getting ready to do, Chad, was he's getting ready to turn the lights out on this people. For 400 years, he is going to turn his back on Israel. He is not going to speak to them. He is not going to give them any kind of revelation. And he is absolutely going to say, I'm done with you temporarily. Whew. I'd hate to think, because of my rebellion, God took his hand off of me. Somebody help me preach. Hey, this crowd knew God. I'll tell you what they knew about God. I'll give you three things. They knew the supernatural presence of God. Hey, I want you to know something. I'll tell you what God done for them. During the daytime, so they wouldn't get overheated, but they know that he was going to give them direction, he put a cloud up. And everywhere that cloud went, they followed. Then at the nighttime, when it got real damp and cool, and they still traveling, God put a fire up. Somebody help me preach. Now, that was God's presence. I want all y'all to know, how many saved people's in this room? You got something better than that. You got something better than a cloud and better than a fire. You got the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost of God in you.
Amen.
Amen. They knew the supernatural presence of God. They knew the supernatural power of God. When they went to the Red Sea, you know what God done? You know what he done? He went like this.
Amen.
He sniffed, and the water went up and congealed, and they walked across on dry ground. I want you to know something, church. You ought not to be ignorant. God is an all-powerful God. Many of you have seen his power. Many of you have experienced his power, yet you have got away from his power. And he said to them, you know about my power. You know about my presence. And he said, you know about my supernatural provision. Whew. Somebody ought to raise your hand and shout, hadn't God provided for you? Man, I want to tell you, he sent them manna. He sent them quail. I'll tell you something else. This right here about make me want to shout. Their clothes for 40 years never even wore out. Somebody help me. I mean, God, somebody praise him. But here's what's happened. Here's the setting. The work had been diminished. I tell you, we have a lot of work going on, but I'll be honest with you, I'm worried. I see a lot of works being diminished. A lot of churches ain't what they used to be. This country's not what they used to be. And this, hey, there's a lot of Christians not what they used to be. Then the worship had been deteriorated. Their focus. And then they had worthless demonstrations. I tell you what they done, Chad. I don't want to get bogged down here. How would you feel? They brought blind animals for sacrifices. They brought, how many's ever ate moldy bread? They brought polluted bread to the table of God. That's wicked. Somebody help me preach. They brought that kind of stuff to God. And now God's addressing them. And I'm trying to get to my title because it's provocative. And he's looking at them and he says, return unto me and I'll return unto you. Now here's what I want to preach for them. Hear it. Get the text. It's provocative. To go forward, sometimes you've got to go back first. I know people can't go forward because they are stuck in the mud. They are paralyzed by the past. Marriages, ministries, movements. They can't proceed because they're paralyzed by the past. And they're paralyzed in the present. They're stuck. And there's some of you in this room, you're stuck. You're not doing the will of God. You're not going forward for God. You're stuck. It's reflective in your attitude. It's reflective in your action. It's reflective on how you treat people. You are stuck. You're paralyzed. Well, God said, you want to go forward in your life? You got to go back. Is that good? And there's people in this room, perhaps, I don't know your heart. I don't know you. There's some of you I know. I don't know all your hearts. There's some of you, probably under your breath right now saying, I'm stuck. My marriage is in a rut. My life's in a rut. And it's affected in my personality. It's affected everything. I'm paralyzed. I seem like I can't go anywhere. Tell you what you got to do. You got to go back so you can go forward. Now, to illustrate it, and I'll close. That just means I'm getting down to the point. I want to illustrate it three times in the Bible. I'd like for you to follow me. Would you mind doing that? And I want to illustrate you got to go back to go forward. So go with me, first of all, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 35. The story surrounds Jacob. Jacob has been away from his family for nearly 20 years. Jacob had, and his name means supplanter. His name means conniver. His name means trickster. Let me make a point here. That some of you, you think you're going to fool God, and you think you're going to trick God, and you think you're going to get by your facade and what everybody thinks you're something. But God knows in reality what you really are. Amen. Jacob was a trickster. By the way, he fled the first time because he's afraid what his brother's going to do to him. And now he's been away from God nearly 20 years. And by the way, he met somebody that was more conniving than he was. Laban. While he was going, he had two women. Got two women. How would you like to marry somebody and then wake up the next day and thought you had somebody else? That's what he did. Had two women. Now let me tell you what God told him. Oh, listen. Are you at Genesis 35? Look what God said to him. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to where? Bethel. Why in God's name is Bethel so important? Why was he told to go back to Bethel? Hey, Jacob, you got to go back. You're stuck. You're in the mud. You're in the rut. You're about to lose it all. You got to go back to Bethel. And Jacob, I want you to go back to Bethel. And I want you to build an altar. Well, you say, well, as some of you might be saying right now, what in the world's significant about Bethel in the first place? Well, if you want to know, you can flip over to the 28th chapter. When this mess started, three things happened at Bethel the first time. First of all, he got a vision. Somebody help me. You know what the vision was? Boy, wouldn't this be amazing? God sent a ladder from heaven to earth. And angels were going up and down, up and down.
You say, what's that ladder a picture of? I'll tell you what he had an encounter with God. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something? You may right now be stuck. You may be paralyzed. What you need to do, you need to get a fresh touch from that encounter you had with God at one time. You need to get a fresh touch. You need to get that junk out of your life. He had a vision. Oh, yeah. Then he heard a voice. Oh, yeah. You know why some of you stuck? You know why you're paralyzed? You ain't hear no voice from God. God done quit speaking to you. God ain't got nothing to do with you anymore. He done stopped. He took his hand off of you, been off of you a long time. You don't know it, but a lot of people already know it. Say, God, I'm done. Go back to Bethel. He had a vision. He heard a voice. How remember when you got saved? You saw yourself lost. You saw Jesus Christ. You heard a voice. What was that voice? You heard the call of God to salvation. You had an encounter with God. And then he made a vow. You're who you said you are. I'm following you. And listen to this. Do you know what? I don't want to put you on the spot. You know what the name Bethel means, don't you? House of God. House of bread. House of God. Bethel, Jeremy, means house of God. Now listen. He was told to go back to Bethel and build an altar and not call it Bethel this time. Here's what he was told to call it. El Bethel. Not just the house of God. Some of you, what you need to get back to is the God of the house. You got so busy in the work of the Lord that you've done forgot the Lord of the work. That's why you want to quit sometimes. That's why you are so negative most of the time. You done forgot. Oh, yeah, you're busy. Yes, you're talented. Yes, you know how to do something. You can know all you need to know. But if you don't have a fresh touch from God, you're worthless. We need to set a monument up and call it El Bethel. The God of the house. Amen. Is he the God of your house? Is he the God of your life? Or is it just you have a superficial kind of outward? Oh, people think, man, you're at the foot of the cross because you talk a good game. People think you're just right where you ought to be because you're real talented. Hold it. That means nothing when you come face to face with God.
Yes, sir.
Got to go back to go forward. Number two. So we got to go back to the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't go nowhere without the presence of God. Somebody help me preach. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Will you go there? What am I preaching on? You got to go back. What? To go forward. Let me give you another illustration. I'm almost done. Can't wait to get in my car. 2 Kings 6. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Not only do you need to go back to the presence of God. You remember church? Remember ma'am? Remember sir? When it was so real with you? You were so positive. Everything was so sweet. But you've turned sour. Why? Because of the presence of God's not there. Secondly, look at 2 Kings 6. Are you with me? Amen. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us, really too small for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they went to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed them the place. And he cut down a stick and he cast it in thither. And the iron did swim. Somebody help me preach. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and he took it. Number one, we need to go back to the presence of God. But ladies and gentlemen, to go forward, we need to go back to the power of God. Let me ask you something. Any of y'all ever cut wood? Any of you ever had your axe head fall off? I remember one time, Chad, one of the church people, and I won't tell you who, he'll laugh right now when I tell the story. We were out to his farm, and he said, let's cut some wood. And I said, whatever. I said, you really want an axe in my hand? He said, yeah, let's cut some wood. I said, I thought he's crazy wanting to have me an axe in my hand. So I got out there, and I ain't know nothing about cutting wood. Only thing I know how to do is preach. I don't change oil. My wife changed my oil. I don't do nothing like that. Hello. I mean, you know. So I got there and I got that axe. And man, I took two swings. I mean, man, missed the wood the first time. Hit the wood crooked the second time. And like I say, it went on down through there. And I still got the wood and started beating the wood with it, you know. What kind of power was in that? You know what some of you are doing? You're trying to do the work of God with a piece of wood and not with the power of God. Oh, yes, you can tell a speech. Yes, you can get an outline. Yes, you can flatter people. Yes, you can do that. But it is empty of power. Let me show you three things about this axe head. It was loaned. I want everybody to look at me. What you have in Christ, you are not your own. You're bought with a price. It's been loaned to you. Your talent, your gift, everything you got has been loaned to you by God. And you do not have rights. You have privileges. It's privilege. I want to tell you, I serve in this church. I want you to know something. I don't feel like this. I have to do it. Oh, they can't do without me. Listen, the way my ticker is right now, y'all probably are going to do without me soon. It probably is going to happen. And there'll be somebody else preach here. And I know it. But see, I don't have your attitude. It's not that I have to do something. I'm so thrilled that I get to do something. That the God of glory said, I'll call you to preach. And you get to serve God. And you get to pastor. And you get to serve me. You get to spend 40 some years, maybe 50 if I show you mercy. You get to do this. Everything John Smith you got, I loaned it to you. And no, secondly, not only was it loaned, it was lost. There's some of you in this church, and there's some in Christendom, they're operating without their accent. Now, you either are not aware of it because you've been real good with your talent, or you just know it, and because you get along without it, it's okay. But I got to tell you something. If I didn't have the power of God, I know it.
Amen.
I know it. I know that I'm powerless. It was loaned. It was lost. But hallelujah. You know what he said? You know what the man of God said to him? What did he say to him? He said, where fell it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where to go in at?
Yeah.
Where did you lose it?
Come on, preacher. Yeah.
By the way, there's some of you in this room, you know where you lost it. You know where your attitude turned sour. You know where you got away from God. You know where your actions started reflecting your attitude. You know! You need to go back. Where is it? And they located it, right? It's right in there. Man of God said, give me the stick. Oh, let me tell you, God ain't done with you. He don't want to be done with you. Give me the stick. You want the man of God to? They threw the stick out in the water. What a miracle. You want the stick had a GPS on it. It did. That stick went right down to the axe. You want to have a girl? You ever heard this story? Pretty good, ain't it? The axe head started swimming. Somebody help me.
Yeah. Come on.
I want you to know, you get your power back. You get your power back. You'll start swimming again. You'll see miracles again. You'll see your life making a difference again. But what do you have to do? You got to go back to go forward.
Amen. That's good.
I'm done. I got to take a drink of water to catch my breath. I'm done. Go over to Revelation. Go to Revelation 2. What am I preaching on, Chad? Remind me. What you got to do? To go forward? Have I illustrated pretty well so far? Jacob had to go back to Bethel to go forward. This man had to go back to where he lost his power to go forward. Or y'all got your Bible open? Go to Revelation 2, and I'll be done. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and not fainted. How many, if we don't go any farther, think that's a pretty good resume? Hey, deacons, is that a good resume? Let me tell you what the resume is. Just let me summarize it, and I'm done. They were separated. They were sound in doctrine. They were soul winning. They were stirring. They were steadfast. They had orthodoxy. This is what bothers me. I know a lot of people that have orthodoxy. Oh, they're willing to tell you what you do wrong. They got it, buddy. They got, oh, man, I am the gift. You listen to me. I will tell you what's right and what's wrong. They can see the wrong in others, but they never see it in themselves. This church was right down to the letter. But look what he said to them. Y'all with me? Nevertheless, I've got somewhat against thee. Because thou hast what? Didn't lose it. Left thy first love. That encounter you had with God. You got bitter. You've got angry. You've got frustrated. You've left it. Look what he said. Remember, three things you need to do when this happened. See, you had to return to the presence of God, to the power of God. But low scale, this may be my most important point. We got to go back to the passion of God. I know preachers. I know people. They got everything right on paper. But what they don't have right is their love for God. They've left it. And now they just do other things out of habit, out of routine, and out of duty. And he said, you need to remember from whence thou hast fallen. Then number two, you know, it really bothers me. A lot of people this don't repent. He said, then you need to repent. I mean, you do somebody wrong and you can't even say, I'm sorry. You repent. Get right. Tell God I'm sorry. And don't give me this stuff. Love means you never say you're sorry. That's a bunch of junk from hell. I'll tell my wife every once in a while I'm sorry. And every once in a while she looks at me and says, you're right. That's junk. Don't tell me you can wrong somebody. Don't tell me you can do that and just go on and say, I'm not sorry. And God done seen through you. And I want you to know we need to repent. Amen. Amen. And look here. Then look what he says to him. Remember, therefore, are y'all with me? From whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do thy first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly, and I'll remove thy candlestick out of place, except thou repent. I'm going to take you out. But this thou hast, thou hatest the deed of the Nicolaitans. Then he tells them to go do their first works. What is that? Okay. What is that, Chad? You remember? You repent, but what else? Repeat. Yep. Do you remember? Do you remember when you got on your knees the first time?
Yeah, come on.
And I saved you. Yeah. Do you remember when I shed my love abroad in your heart? Do you remember?
Come on, preacher. Amen. Bless him, God.
Do you remember? And you need to repent. But then you need to repeat. Amen. You know what you got to do?
Yeah.
You got to go back.
Yeah, buddy.
To where you started.
Woo.
So you can go forward to where I want to take you.
Amen.
Somebody help me preach.
Yeah. Come on.
There's people right now I'm talking to. I love you. I'm your pastor. You're stuck, aren't you? You're stuck. You're paralyzed. God's got something for you. But you ain't going there because you're stuck and you're paralyzed. Maybe it's a marriage you're paralyzed. Or a ministry. Or a movement. Or your manners. You're just stuck. You're paralyzed by the past. It's got a grip on you. It's changed you. Because here's what it is. You're not sweet like you used to be. You've become bitter. You've become argumentative. You've become what you hate in others. You have become it. You have become so angry. And you got so much nerve, you'll do anything or say anything just long. And you make sure you find your little cronies you can say it to who won't take it back to the preacher or take it back to God. By the way, your cronies done turned on you. They will. So you want to go forward? There's people in this room right now, you're stuck, paralyzed. You want to go forward? If you do, you've got to go back. Go back to Bethel. Go have an encounter with God again, not saved again. Not get the love of God again. No, 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 no. Get it real. When's the last time you cried at the altar and said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my bitterness and my anger and my complaining and my critiquing and my criticizing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want you back. You'll not go forward until you go back. I'll tell you a story. I'm done. I should have been quit a long time ago. Church here, we went out by faith and built a building up on top of the hill. Church was at a 150 to 200 cycle. We was going from 150 to 200, but we couldn't break the ceiling. And you know, I was ready to use every excuse in the book. And I did. God spoke to me. He said, you know what you need to do? You need to go to Hammond, Indiana. And there's a guy up there named Jack House. And won't you go up there and listen to him preach? And I went up there with Robert Grant and, oh, I miss him. And a couple of other buddies, Lee Swore. Yeah. He got me off my diet that week. Don't it ain't hard. I went up there and there's 5,000 people there and I was up in the mezzanine. The mezzanine was not very high, Jeremy. And he preached on his classic sermon, Fresh Oil. And I was sitting there beside Lee and Aubrey and Wayne Miles. And I looked over to Lee. I said, Lee, I think I need what he's talking about. You know, my ministry, it's doing good, but it could go better. And Lee, I don't think it's one church member, and I don't think it's a deacon. Lee, I think it's me. So I went through 5,000 people and waded through everybody and got down on my face. And one of the deacons come to me and said, who are you? And I told him who I was. And he said, you in open sin? I said, I ain't got no open sin, I don't think. I ain't doing nothing like that. But I need what he's preaching on. I said, would you mind telling the preacher come down and pray with me? I thought, well, that's ridiculous. He ain't gonna come down. Jack House come off the pulpit. And a lot of people have ripped Jack House unfairly. And he come off the pulpit and he put his hand on me and talked to me a second. And low scale, love, a lot of people loved him, a lot of people hated him. But he had God on him. Yes. And he laid his hand on my head. He said, I want you to touch, God touch his pastor from West Virginia. He means this. And you know what happened? I came back to church on Sunday. 8 people got saved. The church at that time was half full. Beth, it was half full. In 6 months, it filled up. We had already started this building and making it an activity building. We already started this building, so there wasn't no turning back. So we had to transform it because we filled that church up. Why was it? Rich? It wasn't. It wasn't me looking at you. You're the problem.
Yeah. Well, you went back.
I just went back.
Yeah.
And got the presence of God and the power of God and got my passion.
Amen.
And you see the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And I never got it if I didn't go back. And we had never went forward, but we broke 200 and we broke 500 and we've broke as many as 1,416 and we broke all those and we've had thousands of people say, why has it happened here? Because I went back. And there's some of you in this room that are stuck. Maybe a teenager, a mom, dad, a deacon, a trustee, whatever. And you're stuck. You've lost your faith. You ain't going forward. And you're paralyzed. I say, you got to go back to El Bethel and let him be the God of the house. Stand with me. If God spoke to you, I'm not going to give no big altar call. If God spoke to you in this message, you come on. If he didn't and he hadn't been, and you're going to be the same, just stay where you're at. Don't matter. Chad, you take the invitation. I'm sucking air.
Lord, we need a fresh anointing. We cannot borrow from yesterday. Come and lead us, Holy Spirit. Teach us of Jesus.
Is there anyone in here this morning? You might say, Pastor Chad, I'm not 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. Would you please slip up your hand? Anyone at all? Say, please pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Amen. Do one more verse, and then we'll dismiss.
Lord, we need a fresh anointing. Cannot borrow from yesterday. Come and lead us, Holy Spirit. Teach us of Jesus.
I'm going to be stewing on that one all day.